Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour of the Alex Dono Show here on 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet. Radio.com app if you'd like to get in. Share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. We will take some calls here in a moment. But right after, or right before, I give you my top three sporting events to watch during this very, very slow time in sports between the World Cup final and training camp starting finally. I mean, even training camp in itself, right? It's amazing the rabid football culture we live in, where, I don't know, man, I feel like 15, 20 years ago, breaking down and analyzing training camp, it was a thing, but it wasn't what it is today, right? Like, I remember 20 years ago, you used to see, like, the local news reports, Channel 7, Channel 4, etc., breaking down what happened in training camp today, what happened in Camp Shula. You used to see some of that. I mean, I guess it all ties into the internet and social media, right? Because now what happens on a training camp day? If you're not going out to practice where, I don't know, like 1,000 or 2,000 fans go out there per session when they're open to the public, if you're not actually out there taking it in personally, you've got the Twitter stream of Omar Kelly, Chris Perkins, Barry Jackson, Armando Salguero, Beasley. You're following it in some way or another on digital media, and you're living on every moment, right? You're hanging on every breath Ryan Tannehill takes, anything Adam Gase calls in the 7-on-7s and the 11-on-11s. Every time Ryan Tannehill takes a step, you're reading Omar's Twitter feed to see how that knee looks. Did it buckle when he went out to the sideline? What really shouldn't be, like, you're talking about the underwear Olympics, guys in pajamas. I mean, eventually you do ramp up the hitting a little bit. But training camp, you tend to overinflate the values of players in training camp. It shouldn't be the big deal that it is, right? Because I can remember last year in training camp, I'll give you a couple of shameful examples. Last year in training camp, I thought, man, this is Devontae Parker's year. He looks incredible. And I also said this on several occasions last summer when Jay Cutler arrived in August. Best arm I've ever seen in person. Sitting there in Davie, watching Smoke and Jay sling it around the field. What I hadn't taken into account when I watched that unbelievable cannon in person was he's still apathetic, and he's still not in great shape, and he still is just counting his money. $10 million, that's all that Jay Cutler cared about last year.
And now all he cares about is this reality show he does with his wife,
where he does as little work possible, right? You saw when his wife asked him, like, do you actually plan to go back to work, Jay? No, I'm trying to do as little as possible.
Which, from what I've heard, though, from people who've watched it, he is the best character because he provides the comic relief.
And I can tell you that from covering the guy, right? Here are two things that I learned. One thing I should have already known about Jay Cutler last year, right? I went to practice every week. I went to the Jay Cutler news session every Thursday last year. Two things I learned about Jay Cutler. Number one, really entertaining, likable, affable guy, right? I mean, Jay Cutler, to me, all the stories you heard about him being kind of a D-bag, I didn't think were true. I thought Jay Cutler was a really fun guy to cover, but I also learned in person that Jay Cutler, not a very good football player, at least at this point in his career.
And three, every single sort of, like, answer he's going to give starts at, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is the personality he's giving off on the reality show, but he's an entertaining guy. And his comedic timing can sneak up on you, I think.
it almost makes me want to watch an episode. But I just don't want to – I just really don't care about Kristen Cavallari and anything she's doing.
That's the thing, man. It's like I'll watch the clips when they end up on social media.
The best of Jay Cutler clips I will watch.
I didn't even watch Channing Crowder's reality show, Basketball Wives.
I'm telling him. It's not called Basketball Wives either. Just letting you
know. Baller Wives. Come
Baller
on. Wives.
Does Channing look like he played in the NBA at some point?
No, I'm sorry, because there was a show called Basketball Wives, I think. So I got it confused.
Yes, there was, and it was really bad.
And, like, Channing, I know him personally, and I love the guy. I didn't watch his reality show. I'm not watching Jay Cutler's reality show. All right, friends, we go to the phones at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Let's talk to Brother Jerome. You're on QAM. What's up, Jerome?
Brother Alex, good evening. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, my friend. We're 10 days away from training camp. I haven't been better.
Hey, Brother Alex, today is number 47, and it's going to be a pretty easy one on this one, Brother
Michael Irvin, yeah. The playmaker.
Hey, but Brother Alex, yes, sir. Michael Irvin, Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer, St. Thomas High School, and great player and everything, man. But I can't forget the very first 47 when I became a Hurricane fan. It was Otis Anderson.
I forgot he also wore 47.
Yeah, man. Out of Forest Hill, I think, high school. And he was a Pro Bowler, first round draft pick in 1979 with the St. Louis Cardinals. And he was a Super Bowl MVP when he played with the Giants against the Buffalo Bills. So, hey, man, you know, day 47, hey, I salute both of them. Thank you for y'all contribution to the program because, you know, hopefully somebody else will rise up with that number and we can add a third guy to it. But, Brother Alec, when you're talking Hurricane football, it's like you're talking a party. When I heard you earlier before I went into choir rehearsal, I was just so jacked up, man, ready to sing when I got inside. Because, you know,
that's tremendous.
Because you were talking up a great party, man. Brother Alec, if we get an upgrade or some improvement in the quarterback position, Brother Alex, with the talent he has to throw to,
right,
man, it could be something, Brother Alex. It really could. Especially, I believe the offensive line will cover. I'm not even worried about that.
Yeah, you know, here's my thing with the offensive line. I have so much faith in how well they're coached by Stacey Searles. I think that they, like last year, I think they're going to impress people and fly under the radar. My only concern is I don't think that they can afford even like one serious injury on that O-line because I don't think they have any depth. But I think as he's done the last couple of years, I think Stacey Searles is going to coach the best possible outcome out of that unit.
Well, with each year, Brother Alex, now they're getting more top-tier talent with the offensive line as they step up in recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're looking at a couple of more recruits that are going to be more like coming in on a higher level than the class before, maybe. And after a while, we're going to reach that dominance level. I just know it. We're going to reach that dominance level. And I heard Coach Rick said it last year. You know, we can't impose our will. We're not there. He knows where we are. So, Brother Alex, it's a climb, but I tell you what, Brother Alex, I enjoy climbing the mountain. I do.
Me too.
I enjoy climbing the mountain because when you get to the top, it's great and everything, but the climb is pretty nice as you go along. You have a little, you might slide down or trip and fall a little bit, but you get back up and you keep going, and before you know it, you'll put that flag right on top of
that
mountain.
And what you're saying, Jerome, is so true because I wish that more people in this market who cheer for the Hurricanes would appreciate that climb, right? Because we used to be falling off of that mountain, right? There were some dark years here, Jerome, where we were sliding down in an avalanche off of that mountain. And now all of a sudden that you have a respectable coach and a great coaching staff and the recruiting is picking up, people want this team to be a national champion right away. It's just that's such a rare thing in sports. Unless you have Nick Saban, who's at a rarefied level, or even Urban Meyer, you're not going to be a national champion at the snap of the fingers. It takes a few years to build a dynasty. I wish more people would appreciate that climb and not demand 14 wins and a national title every year, and at least appreciate the fact that you're getting better and you will be at that level in a couple of years from now.
Exactly. Brother, out of 1970, when I first got on board, I mean, come on, man. It was 5-6 season. Then we ran into some 3-8 season right behind, and so right around in the middle of the 70s and everything. I didn't see no national championship coming some 7 years later, the year before you were born.
Right.
I didn't see that. But guess what? It came. But you know what? I appreciate that climb. When it would almost look like we were going to drop football at one time.
Yes.
But hey, look where we're at now. We're going to be all right, Brother Alex. Hey, Brother Alex, once again, it's always a pleasure. Give your child a hug.
I will.
And hug your wife and tell her I say hello. And I look forward to speaking with you later on during the week.
Jerome, you are the man. Enjoy the rest of your week, my friend.
All right.
Great stuff as always, man. And listen, like what he said there, I think is very simple, but it's something that we sometimes forget with any of our teams, especially the Canes, right? Because, you know, for the better part of 20 years, we were at the top of the college football mountain. That spoils you as a fan, right? To be either a champion or a championship contender for the better part of 20 years, it raises your standard, right? Just the same way that like 4 years of the Big Three era raised the standard of Heat fans. You expect that kind of excellence every single season, when unfortunately, that's an impossible thing to achieve in sports. Peaks and valleys, highs and lows, and you have to build your way towards a dynasty. I believe that's what the Hurricanes are doing right now. It doesn't mean you cannot appreciate 10 wins, which I believe is going to turn into 11 wins this coming year. I gave you my official prediction earlier. I think you're going to have a similar season this year to what you had last year, but I think this year you get the 11th win in the form of a bowl victory, right? Unfortunately, I think you lose to Clemson in the ACC championship game again, because I still don't think you have quite bridged the gap with that team. And of course, Clemson's defensive tackles all come back when ours don't want to come back. So I think you lose the ACC title game. You win the Coastal again, lose the ACC title game. But I think this time you actually win the bowl game and you get that 11th victory. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Rainier. You're on QAM. What's up, Rainier?
How are you? Good evening.
Good evening.
Two quick points on the Terrell Owens issue. You know, I completely agree with you. I'm kind of happy. A part of me is very, very happy that he has shunned the Hall of Fame this year.
Mm-hmm.
After they bypassed him in those first two ballots, because it was very petty of the Hall of Fame to begin with to not vote him in the first time. What did he do? I mean, did he get arrested? What kind of
he made scenes. He was too boisterous. He's doing sit-ups in his front yard. I don't know. They just didn't like his personality. And you're right. I thought it was definitely spiteful of them not to vote him in right away. But at the end of the day, he's getting voted into the Hall of Fame. So then it's incredibly spiteful for T.O. not to want to show up to the ceremony. And then the Hall of Fame had a chance to actually take the high road. And now the dumbasses in the Hall of Fame are coming out. No, we're not going to acknowledge him. He doesn't get a video. We don't mention him. They had a chance to take the high road. Instead, they look just as immature as T.O. does.
Yeah, but unless you have some real serious substantive personal issues or legal issues, it should be about statistics and about performance, shouldn't it be?
It should be. Unfortunately, yeah. It's not, as you see with pro football and especially with baseball, where baseball, they just shun you if they don't like you. That is the reality we live in as sports fans, that Hall of Fame voters get drunk with power.
Yeah, but the guy was maybe obnoxious, but he didn't really violate any major rules.
Yeah,
he didn't break
you.
The law. You know, I mean, that's just very petty of them to make him wait as long as they did.
It is,
clearly,
yeah, it is.
Clearly, on performance alone, should have gotten in, you know?
Yeah.
And the second point is on Tannehill.
Yes.
Is that these regional magazines, they're national, but they have regional coverage.
I thought so. Yeah, you're right. I tried to press the caller on that, and he said it was national, but you're right. I always thought that the Athlon magazine, the NFL preview, like I'm sure if you're in Atlanta, they've got Matty Ice on the cover. If you're
exactly.
in Boston, they've got Tom Brady on the cover. I'm glad you said that, because that's what I was thinking.
They just try to get them to sell off the shelf regionally with regional covers.
Maybe they should have put Cam Wake on the cover if they want to sell the magazines here in Miami.
That's right. Okay, thank you for the call, man.
Of course, man. I appreciate you. Yeah, I thought that had to be regional. Like, ain't no way they're selling those magazines in supermarkets in Massachusetts with Ryan Tannehill on the cover. Like, I thought that had to be a regional cover with Ryan Tannehill. And again, I like Tannehill more than most, right? But it seems to me if you put Ryan Tannehill on the cover of your NFL preseason magazine, right there, half of Dolphin fans don't want to buy it. I think Cameron Wake should have been the guy on the cover. That's somebody every Dolphin fan can agree on.
Donna, we got some big things coming on TV right now.
Oh, I still got to do my damn list.
Oh, you do?
Well, let's do it now. Give me the top three, Biff. Give me the top three open. Yeah!
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Yeah, I know young Biff is going to be real angry about what I'm not including on this list, but
I can't believe if it's what I think it is, I can't believe you didn't put it on the list.
My top three sporting events to enjoy. This is considered to be the slowest time in American sports, right? Especially now that we just had the World Cup for a month. The World Cup has ended. What the hell do we do between now and training camp in the NFL? I'll give you three sporting events to enjoy. Number three, Big Three basketball. It may be the geriatric league, but you can't tell me it isn't fun watching Carlos Boozer with the painted on hair going out there pretending it's 2008 again. And the Big Three is going to be in town, Biff, on Friday. The Big Three Ice Cubes Basketball League is going to be at the American Airlines Arena. Big Three basketball, something to enjoy between now and football season. How about this one? It's about to go off, my friends. I'll group these together in one category: Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game in baseball. JT Realmuto, you'll see him tomorrow night. You know, I could not care less about the contestants in this year's Home Run Derby, but
you're telling me Max Muncy isn't your man, or Jesus Aguilar, or Rice Hopkins, or Bryce Harper, or Javier Baez, or Kyle Schwarber.
Wow.
Or, hold on, I got the last two.
Uh-huh.
I'm done.
I enjoyed Jesus' work in the New Testament, but I don't care to see him hit home runs on soft pitch baseball.
Yeah, I hear that's a good book. I should read it one day.
It's pretty good. But yeah, listen, I do still enjoy, the same way I enjoy the dunk contest at the NBA All-Star Weekend, I do enjoy the Home Run Derby. Like, it's really not that important at the end of the day, but it's kind of fun watching these guys jack them out of the park. That's number two. Number one, it's not golf, Biff. Not golf. And it's also not tennis. International Champions Cup.
This one's acceptable.
Yeah.
Question, though. Since the Home Run Derby started before this list is, does that count as something you could watch before?
You watch it right? Oh, yeah, I mean, you DVR.
But it already did start, though.
Yeah, but hold on. I assume you're listening to this radio show right now. If you can hear me, you're listening. You DVR the rest of the Home Run Derby. Yeah, we're not going to see any more of those tonight. You DVR the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game tomorrow. You watch those a little bit later. But number one, International Champions Cup. I mean, you're going to get, without Cristiano Ronaldo, Real Madrid taking on Manchester United in South Florida. You're going to get Bayern Munich taking on Manchester City in South Florida. You're going to have, I think this one is going to be, I think in New York, if I'm not mistaken. But you're going to have Juventus, the current home of Cristiano, against Real Madrid, the former home of Cristiano, going head-to-head in a friendly. There are some fun games. I realize they're friendlies. Right, it's preseason for soccer, but you get some of the biggest clubs playing on American soil, and all the games are broadcast on the ESPN family and networks, including my club, Inter, against Chelsea. I think that's on July 28th on a Saturday on ESPN News. I cannot wait to watch that one. So International Champions Cup, Home Run Derby and All-Star Game, Home Run Derby already underway tonight, and Big Three Basketball. Three sporting events, top three sporting events to enjoy between now and training camp.
Is on like every single Friday.
Well, there you go.
Why haven't you watched? Have you watched any of them beforehand?
Not since last year.
Exactly.
Not since the debut year.
So how can you put it on your list if you haven't even watched it this season?
Well, because the World Cup just ended yesterday. I'm now going to watch Big Three basketball.
They're not playing on Friday nights.
I remember a few days ago, Big Three basketball. Like, I had my TV still on. Fox Sports 1, is that where? I think it's on Fox Sports 1.
And Fox.
I had my TV like on Fox Sports 1, and then Big 3 came on. I'm like, oh, where's the remote? I got to change the channel. I got to watch something else. But when it comes to Miami, I will watch it.
Oh, man.
I will watch.
You're a hypocrite, for sure.
A what?
A hypocrite.
Why'd you say it weird?
I didn't say it weird. I said hypocrite.
No, you said hypocrite.
No, I did not.
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? You obviously aren't hearing it.
You said hypocrite, you weirdo.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The Alex Dono Show continues here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
latest from LeVar Ball?
Thank God.
I mean, not only this is an impressive physical specimen. This guy, not only can he, according to him, beat Michael Jordan in one-on-one, could also beat LeBron James at one-on-one. LeVar Ball said,
"Well, in his prime."
That's true. So when LeBron hears that, does LeBron say, "Wait, I'm not going to get mad"? Because it's not like he says he can beat me one-on-one today, but in his prime, he could beat me one-on-one.
Well, just saying, he's a bad man majama, that LeVar Ball.
If you don't believe him, just ask him.
He said it in the quote.
But I did love, though, like, he could have just left it at that. Like, oh, of course, in my prime, I beat LeBron one-on-one. But then he added to it, he'd be too weak. I mean, he actually said that. LeBron's too weak. Could not stop me. I was an Adonis, 260 pounds, LeVar said. And then the interviewer, God bless him, said, well, do you have like any video, any YouTube links to back this up? Don't need them. It's all in my mind, he said.
Well, I mean, back in the day when LeVar was younger, he would not have had YouTube.
No, definitely no YouTube, but.
And anyways, any of the video you would have got would have been like really bad quality, so.
Well, it would have been like what, like 1990s camcorder video?
Nah, his was probably 80s. He has to be something. Remember, his kids are like in their early 20s.
No, teens. Two of his kids are in their teens. One of them is in the early 20s.
Exactly. So that's at least 20 years. You're assuming that he had a kid probably, let's guess, 25. That'd make about 40-something. So I bet about the 80s he was doing. Late
80s, early 90s. Like, you could find some of that JVC camcorder footage of LeVar Ball busting moves on the court.
What was that, like 320 quality, man? Come on. We're at MVP levels right now, and that looks bad.
Yeah, by the time you blow that up in a 4K TV, you're watching the Bigfoot footage. Or you're watching the Zapruder film.
The Loch Ness Monster footage.
Yeah, which is very convincing. To this day, I believe that Nessie is out there for the finding.
He's enjoying his time in Scotland, too. Going to go to Ireland soon, I hear.
So are you saying that Nessie is male? I thought Nessie was female.
I think it's a male. Notice there's not a lot more like Loch Ness Monsters out there. There's only one we know of.
Mm.
So see, male.
Okay.
It'll be the only one that ever exists.
Fair enough. By the way, was talking earlier about T.O. and the Hall of Fame, right? It's like anytime one side comes off looking petty, the other side says, hold my beer. You ain't seen nothing yet. So the Hall of Fame, out of spite, doesn't vote T.O. in until the third year. T.O., out of spite, becomes the first Hall of Famer to ever tell the committee, shove it, I'm not showing up to my Hall of Fame induction, right? And then the Hall of Fame comes out and says, oh, you're not showing up? We're not going to acknowledge you at the ceremony. We're going to pretend you don't even exist. It's like, it's crazy how it's become a urinating contest between the two of these sides. Where I thought the Hall of Fame, after all that, had an opportunity to take the high road and actually come out looking less petty and less childish than T.O., who refuses to go to the ceremony. They come out and say, you know what? Not only are you not showing up, we don't want you to show up, T.O. We're not going to acknowledge you. Michael Irvin, I was a little bit surprised with this. Michael Irvin actually agrees with the Hall of Fame's decision not to acknowledge T.O. at the ceremony. I really thought Michael would, and maybe this is a dumb thing for me to say, because as a Hall of Famer himself, he probably feels like he needs to toe the line of the Hall of Fame committee. But I really thought that Michael would, you know, for a guy with his own off-the-field troubles, would stick up for T.O. here. Or would stick up for T.O. and say, yeah, it's ridiculous not to acknowledge him. But I also got the feeling that Irvin feels a little stabbed in the back by T.O. because Irvin went out of his way to say, a portion of us in that room stood up for you. We lobbied for you. We wanted to get you in the Hall of Fame. We got you in the Hall of Fame. And now you're stabbing us in the back by not showing up. So I think Irvin actually feels personally wounded by T.O. not showing up to the ceremony. Quote, we can't spend this moment for all these other guys talking about the guy that is not here, the Hall of Fame wide receiver said. You cannot do that and take that away. He's doing his own thing wherever he's doing his own thing. What is it, Tennessee, Chattanooga is where he's doing his own thing. And God bless him. And when they mention the class, they'll mention him. But why should you steal those other guys' moment because of the decision of this one? I think it's the right move, Irvin said. They're not saying he's not going to have a bust in that room. They're not saying he's not getting his jacket. They're saying We're honoring his wish. He doesn't want to be with us. Why should we mention him? We're going to mention him as little as possible. I think that's the right move. But again, the logic that Irvin is laying out there to me, it's childish. So he's saying because T.O. was too petty to show up, we need to honor his wishes and get even pettier by not mentioning him. Again, two wrongs don't make a right, man. I thought the Hall of Fame really had an opportunity to actually make T.O. look foolish by playing his video, talking about him, acknowledging him, and he's not even there to receive the honor because he was too childish to show up. I thought the Hall of Fame could have been above T.O. in this spot. Instead, they chose to stoop to his level. It's crazy. Irvin acknowledges how important and how high an honor it is to be elected to the Hall of Fame. T.O. will realize it someday. Yeah, you know what? For the last few weeks since we caught wind of T.O. not showing up to his ceremony, I still, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what if there's a chance he changes his mind? Like, what if there's a chance that T.O. comes to his senses? I think he's going to regret it someday, not being there. I do. I think he's going to regret not having that moment in front of his adoring fans there, because people would make the trip there to see T.O. They would make the trip to Canton knowing that T.O. was going in. He's got fans all over the country, all over the world. To not be able to share that moment, what? Because it took them 3 years to vote you in? At the end of the day, you're a Hall of Famer, right? I mean, even the most detail-oriented football fan out there, you go through every Hall of Fame class. Can you honestly tell me, with better than a 30% success rate, who were the first ballot guys, who were the second ballot guys, the third ballot guys? At the end of the day, all that matters is you're a Hall of Famer, right? I know when you get up for it that first year, when you're eligible 5 years out of the league, your name becomes eligible to be a Hall of Famer. They don't put you in that first time when you feel you deserve it, and you probably deserve it. It stings. It hurts, right? Second year, they don't vote you in. It hurts. Third year, okay, you finally got your moment. It may sting that you weren't a first ballot guy, but 5, 10, 15 years down the road, the only thing you remember is that guy's a Hall of Famer. Now, maybe in T.O.'s case, 20 years ago, 20 years from now, you're talking about this with your kids or your grandkids in the case of some of you. You're going to remember that T.O. wasn't a first ballot guy because he made a thing of it. But if he had just shown up and enjoyed that moment, accepted his honor the way everyone else in history has, I don't think 10, 15 years from now, you would have remembered that T.O. didn't get in the first time. Terrell Owens should win Hall of Fame for most annoying, unlikable pro athlete of all time. Dexter writes. I think he's in that Hall of Fame. Who would be in that Hall of Fame? Most annoying, unlikable. At this point, isn't Pete Rose in there? I mean, you want to talk about spite. All Pete Rose has to do is acknowledge what he did and apologize for it. He can't even do that. Pete Rose is definitely in annoying, unlikable Hall of Fame. Terrell Owens goes in there as well. Man, I'd like to put LeBron in there, but LeBron is a nice guy. Dennis Rodman, does Dennis Rodman go into that Hall of Fame, annoying and unlikable? But like the thing with Dennis is so unlikable that he becomes likable. Isn't that like a weird thing? Like he's so far on the unlikable spectrum that he goes all the way around back to likable.
Who are you hearing that from? Because I've heard people have horrible stories with them.
Well, people hate the fact that he loves North Korea.
Not even that. I just hear he's like not a nice guy sometimes. Talk to Hawk.
Oh, that's right.
A fight with him at a strip club, remember?
Yeah, I think that happened like 15 years ago, but Hawk still tells the story like it happened yesterday.
Well, because, you know, that was the one time Hawk almost got in a fight.
That's probably true. That's a great point, right? Like, if you're Channing Crowder, you don't necessarily remember every time you got into a fight or almost got into a fight. Because it's happened dozens, if not hundreds of times. But if you're Mark Hockman, the one time in your life you almost get into a fight, that happens to be with Dennis Rodman. You're going to tell that story for 50 years. That's a great point by you.
That was the Biff fact of the day.
Like, I still, in my life, probably less than a handful of times, I got into or almost got into fights. So I will still remember the time I was 19, some dude with a cigar was trying to hit on my girlfriend. I got in his face. He tried to put his cigar out on my face. I will never forget that.
Ooh, was that the frat Dono going out there?
Yeah, it was. That was frat boy Dono. I mean, I was as laid back then as I am now, right? Like, I'm too nice to get into fights. But
except had a Natty Ice in his hand, I bet.
Absolutely. I played beer pong with those things. Like, my curse, my blessing in college was also my curse. I was so damn good at beer pong, Biff. It was amazing. I impressed people. But the problem when you're that good at beer pong, you can never get off the table.
Oh, yeah, then you're not social. That's the one thing I hate about beer pong, because you can't lead the table.
Right.
If you lead the table, you're putting defeat out there.
Right.
You have to wait till nobody else is playing.
Well, you're right. There's two problems with not leaving the table. Number one, you're missing out on social interactions. But number two, by the time you leave the table, you're so drunk you can barely move. That was the other problem. So good at beer pong. By the time I was done playing, I was not functional for 3 days after that.
How much were you filling those cups? Were you filling them like halfway, or were you filling them up like a normal beer pong?
Not normal beer pong, but listen, you play 17 consecutive games of beer pong, you're going to be feeling that for the next couple of days.
How could he play? How long were you at the? Were you there for like 3 hours?
Pretty much.
17 games? Oh, my God.
If my buddy Rudy is listening, he listens sometimes, we went to a frat party circa 2006, I want to say. He and I became the 72 Dolphins at beer pong. We were on the table for 17 consecutive games. I couldn't walk for 3 days after that.
Did you not use your legs while doing that? Or were you just that? I mean, that's it.
Was that inebriated? Because a lot of those.
I want to be that inebriated one day. That sounds like interesting.
A lot of those games came down to sudden death overtime where you set up, because, you know, tie game, you set up the three cups to play OT. It's very exciting. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Texture writes in, Hawk got into a fight at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. They're talking about it on.
I thought that was a joke.
No, I believe it was actually true. He did get into a fight at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of a short fuse, Hawk.
Is that a short joke, Adam?
Not intended to be, but it came out that way.
Yeah, it was. Don't lie, Donna. It was meant to be, Adam.
I vote for Mark Richt for beer pong coach at Texture. I think that's our buddy Charles, who does not like Mark Richt. Like, Charles, tell me, who do you want to hire then? If you think that Mark Richt is inevitably going to fail to bring the U back, who's your coach? Do we go out and we get Urban Meyer? Do we consider Nick Saban? You know, Nick, I know what you're doing in Alabama. It's been fun. It's time for a new challenge. Let's come. His wife hates Miami. They spent a couple years here with the Dolphins, and his wife, Terry, wanted to get the hell out of here. Who should be our coach then, Charles? If Mark Richt is not the man for the job, who do we bring in? The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
A texter in the last segment said that if we were going to put athletes into the annoying, unlikable Hall of Fame, T.O. would be a first ballot guy for that.
Oh, he may be the all-time great for that, for some people.
Yeah, I feel like your microphone's a little too low. It's driving me crazy.
I'm sorry, Donna. Is that better?
Not really. Is that as high as it goes? I don't know if it's just me.
Better now?
That is better.
You know what it was?
What?
It was that knob that I had that can control all your volume.
Oh, so that was just in my ear you were too low.
Yes, I'm fine besides that.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's up for debate.
So that was a you problem, Dono.
All right, all right.
Problem, but that was a you problem.
All right. So aside from T.O., I asked the texters, who else would be first ballot in the annoying, unlikable Hall of Fame? Texter writes in, 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Top five hated and most annoying besides T.O. Brock Lesnar. Pac-Man Jones. Oh, I can see that one. Floyd Mayweather. Oh, absolutely. I can see that one. Barry Bonds. Okay, true. And Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa just did that bizarre interview a couple weeks back with Jeremy Schapp. And he always deflects now on whether or not he ever used steroids. And he also deflects on that bizarre face cream that he wears that makes him white. It's so weird.
That is the weirdest thing.
It's so weird.
He Michael Jackson himself, but it was weird.
It's
weird.
It's very strange that, like, he used to be a black dude and now he's a white guy. Like, how can we not? How can you not want to ask him about that? Like, it's It's like, okay, Sammy, tell me about why you are like the whitest guy I've ever seen at this point because of that cream. Like, why do you wear the cream that you wear? It's very odd. Like, I don't know. To me, like, Sammy Sosa is just more odd than he is unlikable. I can't say that I dislike the guy. I just think that he's incredibly strange. I feel the same way about Dennis Rodman. I don't dislike Dennis the way that some of you do. Let's see who else. Oh, Curt Schilling they put in there. I can see that. Roger Goodell. That's a good one.
He's hated by everybody.
Yeah, does anybody like Roger Goodell? Robert Kraft used to like him, but they had a falling out over Deflategate. Like, that used to be his guy. He and Bobby Kraft.
Roger Clemens, also a texter, puts in. That's a pretty good one.
That's true. Lance Armstrong.
Yes, he is hated by people.
That might be the motherlode right there. Lance Armstrong. I mean, why I dislike Lance Armstrong so much. It wasn't the mere fact that he cheated. Right? Hear me out on this one. I don't dislike Lance Armstrong because he was a cheater. I haven't had much sleep. Father of a 4.5-month-old. Excuse my occasional stepping over my words.
No excuse on that one, Dono.
It's not that I dislike Lance because he's a cheater, because everybody in cycling was cheating at that time. I dislike Lance Armstrong because he went out of his way to sue and take money from people who accused him of cheating when he was cheating. That's an absolute D-bag move right there. Like, it's one thing to deny it and get away with it, but then to actually sue your accusers when all they were doing was telling the truth? That's up there, man. Another good one. Jose Canseco. Oh, that guy is so despised. And Jose Canseco, it's like, I love what happens with baseball fans. Baseball fans despise steroid users. Jose Canseco called out every steroid user in his book, and yet you despised him because he was narking everybody out. Like, it's crazy.
Hey, man, snitches get stitches.
No, it's true.
You can't like somebody who's being a narc out there. Come on.
I mean, that was a low-life move by Canseco to sell a book, because it wasn't just writing a book. He sold a ton of I bought a copy of that book. I was in college when that book came out. I bought a copy of that book, and I enjoyed it. But this guy was profiting off of narking dudes out. Crazy thing.
What about, are we going broadcasters in here too? Because Texas are putting in about that, and there's a lot of them we could put out there.
Oh, Skip Bayless?
That one's good.
Or Joe Buck.
Joe Buck.
They referred
I think Joe Buck is the big one.
They referred to him as Joe Suck. Joe Buck. My most annoying Joe Buck memory was, you remember when Randy Moss had that epic touchdown celebration where he just pretended like he was moon? Like, he didn't pull his pants down.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The fans at Green Bay, he was a Viking at the time, big rivalry. The fans at Green Bay, their tradition is when the visiting team bus pulls into Lambeau, these slobs, these cheese-fed slobs from Wisconsin, they pull their pants down and moon the bus of the visiting team. So Randy Moss, who was a Viking, poked a little fun at that, scores a touchdown at Lambeau. He just pantomimes pulling his pants down to moon the crowd. It was great. And then this Joe Buck gets up on his soapbox and calls it a disgusting act. Like, Joe, you realize he didn't literally pull his pants down. And maybe if you knew the background of that story, you wouldn't have criticized him that way.
Would Lenny Dykstra be a good person to say that would be a hated
player? Yeah, I think so. By the way, if anyone listens to the Howard Stern show and you tune into what Lenny Dykstra has become, he might be the creepiest individual on the planet.
He is a weirdo.
I mean, and he had that incident with the Uber driver recently. O.J. Simpson, oh, automatic.
That's a guarantee.
First ballot.
The worst thing, besides what he did, you don't want to know the worst thing he did?
What's up?
He made the Jenners. He created the Jenners.
Oh,
he
that's a great point.
Kim, yeah. Chloe, Courtney, Kylie, Kendall, Bruce,
jeez.
Caitlin, Kris Jenner, all the Jenners he made.
And if you believe the rumors, he may have fathered a couple of them, literally.
I think he's the godfather of Kim.
Yeah,
but Chloe's dad.
Yeah, some people think he might actually be Chloe's father. It's a controversial topic, and I apologize to any Kardashians listening if you're offended by this. But there is a commonly believed conspiracy that O.J. Simpson literally is the father of Khloe Kardashian.
Well, this is something we may have to talk about in clickbait, but have you seen the GoFundMe for Kylie Jenner to make her a billionaire?
What?
Oh, I have to talk to you. I'm going to tease this one.
What?
This will be my clickbait for the week.
Oh, my God. There are so many questions I have. Can I just say one thing about this before we actually hit the topic later? Can I just say one thing? Maybe. You're telling me sheep who probably struggle to pay rent and put food on the table are actually donating their money to try and make some spoiled brat who has accomplished nothing aside from being the sibling and the daughter of famous people. They're donating money to make this loser a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you all the details when we go to clickbait.
Dear God. I'll tell you, the only GoFundMes, I've donated to a few of them in my life. The only GoFundMe you will ever see me part ways with money for are somebody needs cancer treatment. Somebody needs to pay hospital bills, right? The hardships that are potentially life-threatening that you have to pay for. Those are the GoFundMes I get behind. I don't get behind, hey, can you throw me a few bucks so I can take my family to Hawaii? Hey, can you throw me a few bucks so that I can finally pay for that Aston Martin I've been working for? Like, you see some ridiculous GoFundMes out there like that, right? It better be a damn good cause to motivate me to donate to your GoFundMe. And I have before. I'm not, I can be very generous, Biff. I get it that hospital bills can be very expensive. There's a lot of bills you have to pay when you shouldn't if you have somebody who has a life-threatening illness. I'm all about those GoFundMes. But you're telling me rich people now have GoFundMe accounts.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't set up by her, though. I'll say that.
It doesn't matter who it was set up by. They should all die.
Also, another person that people hate in sports, Vontaze Burfict.
They do hate Vontaze Burfict, and rightfully so.
Oh, I really hate him.
Somebody wrote in Muhammad Ali. He no longer hated Muhammad Ali. Like,
the only reason why people, I feel like, hated him is because he didn't do the Vietnam War, but that was like a stand for
something. Well, I mean, he was people hate, back in the 70s, people hated Muhammad Ali for the same reason why certain people hate the guys who take the knee before football games, because this guy dares speak out against convention and criticize. Muhammad Ali, in his day, Muhammad Ali was very controversial, right? But it took a couple of decades to kind of sit back and simmer on it, and then Muhammad Ali has become a hero.
Well, it's kind of like, in a sense, saying that, like, Martin Luther King people hate him. It's like, it's kind of almost on the same thing. It's like saying an activist is hated, and it's like,
Right, because Martin Luther King was I'm sure, hated by a lot of people in his time, but now he's universally looked at, I think rightfully so, as being a pioneer.
This texter brings up the most important one, the most hated people.
Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah, that's the king of hatred down here.
Tanya Harding gets in there as well, I think. A texter writes her. I mean, she literally had a goon.
Oh, yeah, no, she is a scumbag. She literally did what she could for a medal.
She hired a goon to break Nancy Kerrigan's leg. You know, I want to watch that I, Tanya movie. I never got a chance to sit down and watch that. Did you see that movie, I, Tanya?
No, but it has to be somewhat decent. I mean, Margot Robbie is a good actress.
And it got good reviews. Got very good reviews, I, Tanya. But yeah, it's hard to talk. You know what? After all of this stuff that we've discussed here, I'm not sure if T.O. is first ballot. He's not first ballot on any Hall of Fame.
Well, he's like, I think he is, because he was kind of, at least for my generation, was probably like the first person who was really like, oh, you really do not like this guy. Like, who is this guy?
Right. 5'6". Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
But that would have to be a pretty big, like, Hall of Fame class, though, still.
Clubber Lang, a texter writes in. Well, if you're going to go fictional Rocky characters, wouldn't Ivan Drago be first on that list? I mean, he literally killed Apollo Creed in the ring. Although that was Rocky's fault. He should have thrown in the towel. Donald Sterling, that's a good one.
Yeah, he is. He's like Papa John's level, too.
He was up there with Papa John. They had a GoFundMe for Elon Musk to upgrade his office couch, which he was supposedly sleeping on. I saw it on Ellen. Wow. Again, you're a sucker if you donate your hard-earned money to billionaires.
I mean he's going to give a civilization on Mars. It's the least we could do.
Yeah, no question about that. Got a lot coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. want to talk some Dolphins football, want to talk some Canes football. Oh, a LaVar Ball update. How about, you know what? Honestly, I think LaVar Ball should play in the Big Three. Why can't LaVar Ball play Big Three basketball?
Well, he shouldn't play Big Three basketball. He has his own league, the JBA, the Junior Basketball Association.
But he doesn't play in that, though, does he?
His sons do, LiAngelo and LaMelo. They both play for L.A. So, just saying, earlier rumors you talked about this year was that both Lonzo, LeBron, and LiAngelo would be playing in L.A. He's right about that.
Yeah. I think it's kind of pathetic that LaVar Ball has to create leagues just to get his kids jobs playing basketball.
Hey, he helped that Lithuanian league out a lot. Nobody else heard of that league before him.
Lithuania is actually, Ira Winterman told me this, that's one of the few countries in the world where basketball is the number one sport. You think about it, it's not the number one sport in America, where the game is played at the highest level. Not the number one sport in the United States of America. Not the number one sport in Canada. Not the number one sport in Spain, where a lot of good players come from. Argentina. Not the number one, well, maybe in Puerto Rico. Well, no, Puerto Rico, baseball in Puerto Rico. Basketball is popular there, but baseball, the number one sport in Puerto Rico. Lithuania might be the only country in the world where basketball is the number one sport.
Well, what else do you have there? I mean, I feel like the other things they do, like, well, at least in Olympic-wise, because they're an Eastern European country, this right. Me generalizing would be like weightlifting.
Yeah. Eastern European countries tend to be very good
exactly,
at that.
Exactly, but, you know, how exciting is that? Watching, going there every second. They're like, it's like going to a track meet and being super excited.
I mean, you would just think, though, that like being in Europe, albeit Eastern Europe, you would think that that they would be at least enthusiastic about soccer, but they love their basketball over there. Oh, Jeffrey Loria. Jeffrey Loria, not only hated, but a con man and not welcomed in South Florida.
Isn't he like the French ambassador now or something like that?
I don't think he actually got that job. He was up for it. I don't think France wanted him. Really, you think about the French. Wait a second here. Do you want to send me con man from United States? Now I'm starting to become, the accent was going off in a different direction
there. That's like that's a whole nother political topic we could go into.
I was getting a little Russian, was I not? Oh, this is beautiful.
It's because we were watching too much Russian soccer in the World Cup this year.
You know, we just finished the World Cup. It is wonderful. Vladimir Putin here speaking. I rigged the American election, and then I rigged the FIFA election to have World Cup football come to my country. It's wonderful.
Da?
I would like to punch Jameis Winston in the mouth, the texter writes. That's always how I felt about Joakim Noah. Always wanted to punch him in the mouth. The Alex Donner Show continues next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.